because I love the promise to the very end of the story of the lost son, also called the prodigal son. Jennifer has a testimony that her sister has come back to the Lord, and we have names of prodigals in this box over here, and she said, I have a name to strike off the list in the prodigal box because a sister of hers has come back to the Lord, and I love that. And her name has been in there for years. Do not give up on people that you want to see come back to the Lord. But I'll tell you honestly, as I started to prepare this word, and I'm going to just preach about people in the New Testament for the next few months, probably. That's what we'll preach about, is the people that Jesus met in the New Testament that he called out people groups. So as I'm reading, I'm like, God, call out the prodigal hearts, call out the prodigal hearts. I felt the Lord calling out my own heart. A prodigal heart does not just affect someone who is completely wayward and far from the Lord, but sometimes it can affect us as little pieces of our fire begins to be quenched, as little parts of our spirit begin just to be dulled and that sharpness goes away. We need to be restored to the heart of the Father. And so as we go through this sermon series and this sermon today, don't just check out and say, okay, this is for my people, but not for me. This word is for everybody. There are ways we can all find ourselves walking back to the heart of the Father in a more committed and a deeper sense. So this story comes in Luke chapter 15, and this has several parables in it. It has the lost sheep. The Lord leaves the 99 to find the one. It has the lost coin that a woman will turn over her entire house to find the one coin that she's lost. And then it has the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal who squanders away his inheritance. It's 20 verses long. I'm not going to read all of those scriptures. I can preach it, I think, without reading the whole story. If you don't know what happened in this story, a prodigal decided he wanted his inheritance early. He requested, or a son requested, he wasn't a prodigal at that moment. He requested his inheritance from his father. He squandered it with loose living, is the way that the NIV says it. He found himself very regretful because he was in a place that was desperate and destitute. He came back to the father, and the father restored him, of course. So let's look at the beginning of the story, Luke chapter 15, and it says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of him said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, his inheritance. How many of you, if your child asked you for that this morning, you would give them your hospital bills? Good luck with this. This is not a request my children would ever make to me. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. I want to talk to you about three different things this morning. I'm getting right into it because I want to preach the whole sermon. And that's that the heart of the Father will restore you to purpose. The heart of the Father will make real to you provision. And the heart of the Father will change your position. So let's start with the purpose. And it's pretty simple here, but you have to pay attention to the wording. So it says, a certain man had two sons. It was not about what the father had. It was about who the father was. Your purpose has very little to do with your inheritance. In fact, we misunderstand this story when we say we got to learn how to steward our inheritance. Your purpose has everything to do with your legacy, with who you are as a son or a daughter of God. This had very little to do with the money, with the wealth, with the resource that he asked for. And instead, what it had everything to do with was the fellowship that he broke away from. We get that twisted sometimes because we say, I have nothing. No, in that moment when you walk away from the Lord, you are nothing. You are a wretch. We hate that. Deconstruction, if you listen to TikTok very long at all today, you'll find people that say, I left the evangelical church because they told me how bad I was. And so they're just sitting there in their badness, being destitute, wretched, condemned, and bound for hell, but they feel good about themselves because nobody said something hateful to them. This man ended up in the pig pen and said, I see exactly who I am, and what I understand is I am nothing without my father. We have to come to a point of full realization that it's not just I have nothing, but I am nothing without Jesus. And it's not so much about what I can regain, but the identity that can be restored to me. God does not just want to give you back what you lost, but he wants to make you into something that you have never fully realized. I love that. Sure, without Jesus, I'm nothing. I love the reality, though, that with Jesus, I have everything that I need, not just to walk in the inheritance, but to live out the spiritual legacy, that I get to walk in the fullness of Christ, that I get to walk in the power of God. You're not just meant to say, you know what? God gave me back my family. God gave me another chance. God gave me an opportunity to prove myself. God gave you the nature to walk above the sin that destroyed you. God gave you the mind of Christ that you won't be stupid like you were before. God gave you the power of the Holy Ghost that you'll say no when you used to be compelled, and that you were completely bound to a stronghold that kept you in addiction, that kept you in brokenness. What happens when you're restored to purpose is you understand who the Father is and who you are in Him. You're not just restored to your inheritance, but to the Father's house. Your purpose this morning is to be restored to the house of the Father. It's about who He is. When life stops being centered around the Father, it will fall apart. When you stop being rooted in the Father, you will fall to nothing. But on the flip side, be restored to Him. Return to the certain man. He couldn't have just gone to any generous, benevolent person's house and been restored to his identity. You can find ways to rebuild your life for a time that are not fully abiding in Christ, and it will work for a time, but it cannot last. It's a house built on sinking sand. You have to come back to the heart of the Father. You have to fully understand who the Father is. Being restored to His purpose meant being restored as a son. He prepared a speech. The son prepared a speech. He practiced it when he was a long way off. Here's what he said in verse 18 of Luke 15. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So just make me like a servant. And he arose and he went to his father. And when he was a long way off, his father saw him and he ran after him. He had compassion and he ran. And he said again, I'm going, and he sees him, and he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So what this man said was, if I can just get back in the house, I don't care who I am. You got to lay aside that stinking thinking, and you got to say, he did not die just to put me back in the house, but he died to set me back at the table as a son. You're not meant just to feel better. You're meant to be radically different. You're meant to be restored to sonship. You're meant to be restored to fellowship. You're meant to come to a place that was not enough. That was not satisfactory to the Father. In fact, he says, he announces to his people that the son of mine, I'm going to get there in a minute, was dead and now he's alive. But something that he said in verse 31 was, son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. He killed the fatted calf. He made a celebration for him. He gave him a ring and a robe. He brought music and dancing, but none of this was about he's hungry and he needs to eat. None of this was about he ain't got shoes, he needs to walk. None of it was about I'd like him to have a little bling, they put a ring on his finger. None of it was about his clothes stink from the pig pen, I want him to wear a robe. It was about I'm restoring him as my son, I'm restoring him as my heir. Every single thing that the Lord is pouring out on your life, and he's pouring out mercy on your life, whether you realize it or not. If you don't realize it, get the scales off your eyes. Come out of that bitterness. Come out of that shame and that regret. And step into your identity as someone who is being provided for. But understand this, the provision has nothing to do with your need. He could answer your need. He could answer your need anytime he wanted. But he's choosing to call you out in this moment and restore you to your identity. He wants to restore you. It's deeper than that. It's bigger than he's fixing your situation. I believe for a lot of you, he's fixing your situation. I've seen a lot of people get their situation fixed by God, by a miracle, and still fail to walk in their identity because they took the provision and never came into fellowship. It's about being restored to life. Listen to this. His purpose did not need to be made worthy, but made alive. Verse 21, he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight. I'm no longer worthy. And his father said, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and we'll eat and be merry. Verse 24, my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. All of the stuff was not a recognition of his worth, but a celebration of his life. You got restoration, okay? You don't need, you're here in this place. You're in the presence of God. You don't need to keep seeking restoration. You need resurrection. There are people sitting in this room that have been restored to the place that God prepared for you, but you have not been fully raised to the purpose. You are still dead. And dry bones, come alive. Come out of that grave. Come out of that death and come into life, because he does not just say, my son who was good for nothing and smells like a pig pen has come back and we have cleaned him up. But he said, my son was dead and is alive. Stop lying to yourself. Stop saying this is good enough. This much restoration is good enough. If you feel like your heart is not moved in the presence of the Lord, if you feel like you are still dead to righteousness, you are still falling into the trap of sin, if you feel like you are still dull to the move of the Holy Ghost, and if you're not responding to what God tells you to do, you're still dead. If you were alive, you would respond to the Lord. The good news is that Jesus, the resurrection and the life, is in this room, and he is running after you, and he brings all of that provision. He brings the robe and the ring and the sandals and the fatted calf and the celebration and the merriment and the joy, but he also brings resurrection power and says it's time to be raised to life. You don't have to be restored to worth, but you got to make a choice, and you've got to be raised again to life. Be brought back to life. He doesn't need you to produce any more worth. He needs you to come back to life. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. The world doesn't know us because it did not know him. I'll give you some indicators of if you're still dead. If your world still recognizes you, if you still have fellowship with your old life, if you don't feel like a square peg in a round hole, there's a good chance you're still dead. There's a good chance that you're wearing the robe, but you're not walking in the resurrection. If you cannot speak to that temptation, if you cannot speak to that voice, if you cannot speak to the lie of the devil and see the light of the truth of God take over, there's a good chance that you're still dead, that you're wearing the ring, but you're not carrying the authority. You're meant to walk in life. You're meant to carry authority. If you're still finding yourself broken and frustrated by your past, if you're still finding yourself stumbling along the path that God laid out for you, there's a good chance that you got the shoes on your feet, but you do not have the walk that he has called you to walk. I'm telling you that he did not bring it to you just at surface level. He is not here to restore you just so you look good, but he's here to raise you up as a man, a woman full of the power of God, full of the Spirit of God, who walks in victory, who walks in authority, who walks administering the gifts of God, because he's given you his Holy Ghost, he's given you his Spirit, and there will come a point where you say, I don't care if it looks good, I don't care if I've satisfied the requirements of my family or my mother or even my pastor, I need the life of Christ in me. And when you walk in that resurrection life, you are going to understand what it means to be restored to the purpose of the heart of the Father. We need to be restored to purpose. We need to be restored to the deep things. We need to come to a point of no turning back. This is your moment of no turning back. Some of y'all have run the prodigal road a few times. You know the way home pretty easy, and thank God for it. Thank God for that. I'd rather somebody come back to Jesus 100 times over and on the 100th time at work, then them only come once and go back into the world. If this is your 100th time to run the prodigal's road, run it for real this time. Have a different understanding this time. Be raised to life this time. Walk in the fullness of Christ. He said that the world won't know The world won't know you because it doesn't know Jesus, but you'll be called a child of God. John chapter 15, he said, abide. Abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me and I in you. There comes a point where you just say, I just need to be with my Father. I just need to be where the Lord is. If it takes me down a difficult road, if it takes me down a lonely road, if it takes me to a place of reckoning, I will go where my Father goes. I promise you that there is a fellowship that you cannot imagine. Whether you've had the worst or the best father in the world, your fellowship with the heart of God, your fellowship with the goodness of God and the power of God will give you a confidence and a boldness that you have never experienced before. It'll give you a security that you've never known before, and you will walk in a certainty of your purpose. And I talked about this last Sunday night, how the will of God doesn't always mean exactly specifics. I'm going to take a left at this stop sign, and I'm going to see a person in a red shirt, and that's going to be the person I need to speak to the Lord about. It's not about that, but it's I am with my Father. I am going where my Father goes. I am in His company all the time. Because He provides for me. He directs and leads and guides me. And I am at a point of being restored to purpose when I'm in fellowship with Him. Everything else takes care of itself. Before this point, He had basically said, I don't care about you. I just care about your things. And then we get to the point where He says, I don't care about the things. I don't have to be a son. I just want to be a servant. And His heart in that moment was pure. And that's honestly a true and pure moment of worship when you say, I'm not demanding that you make me anything. I just want to be right here at your feet. But the response of God in that moment will be, I will bring you to fellowship with me. Because you see my worth. Up to this point, he was basically saying, you're as good to me dead. If He said, I want my inheritance right now, what He was saying was, you're as good to me dead as you are alive. Are you looking for the living God? Are you looking for the living God who is alive and active in your life, or are you just looking for His gifts that He's already secured? If you're looking for the living God, you've got to be willing to take up that cross. And you've got to be willing to lay down your preference and your priority. Many people walked in the giftings of God, especially in ministry, pastors, preachers, charismatic people. They're dropping like flies right now because they wanted the inheritance, but they didn't want the Father. Lord, keep us from that. Help us to always know. Help us to always know that our purpose is fellowship with God, and everything else will come as it needs to come. Abide in Him and recognize your purpose. Secondly, abide in Him and understand your portion. In verse 12, if you go to this story, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided to them, because the son had a brother, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. We all understand how quickly that provisions can disappear. We all understand that provision can seem like a lot. Even a sum of money can seem like a lot of money. This is Alyssa's last full year in school. She's about to get her last student grant money. And it's so funny to watch like a young couple. And I've been there too. Me and Jordan used to get grant money. But they'll get just this little sum of money. And then for like 1 week, they're like, we're the richest people in the world. This money is going to last forever. And they'll even tell this story about themselves, because we all have lived this out. And then a week later, they're like, we don't have any money. We don't know where it is. It's gone. It's gone. We got no money and no extra stuff. We don't know what happened. That's the story of life, right? That's the story of life. There's no amount. There's no thing that you could have. There's no portion that could be given to you that would be enough. And what we see is an impulsiveness that your heart can, walk in that will make you miss the depths of the Lord. He was interested in the instant over the constant. Instant will say, I love this song. I love this worship. I'm going to respond to God right now because I feel it. Constant will say, I love obedience. I love discipline. I love to die to myself. I promise you can learn to love it. But it's not love in like a shimmery, comfortable way. But it's love like crave, and it takes me to the depths of God kind of way. Learn to love the constant communion with God that comes from craving His presence over the instant gratification of goosebumps and feeling good. We've got to get past that, and we've got to come to a point where we say, I'm going to lay every single thing down because I understand that constant communion is the ultimate prize and the most valuable portion. Instant help, instant relief, instant abundance, instant provision is not enough, and if I value it and demand it now, I may just get exactly what I want. Thank God He doesn't give us exactly what we want every single time we demand it, right? I can't tell you how many times I've said, God, just fix it. Like, I mean, with all the spiritual authority in me, fix it, Lord. Fix them, Lord. I just call on the power of heaven to soften their heart. Make this easy for me. That's what we're really saying. Make this easy for me. And He says, oh, you're going to fix it. You're going to fix it. Every day. Every hour. With every hateful interaction. With every bit of orneriness. With every crazy, weird thing that happens. And I'll be with you every step of the way. And I will prove my faithfulness every step of the way. Stop asking for a quick fix and start asking for a faithful heart. We're turning away from the prodigal nature when we begin to do that. When we begin to say, God, keep me faithful. You ain't going to let me be comfortable anyway. So you can keep praying that. It ain't going to work. I mean, it's not going to work. But, but I've about decided, okay, I don't get to be comfortable. I've already figured it out. I figured that out, not it. I'll never figure it out. I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to be comfortable, but keep me faithful. Keep me craving my ultimate portion, which is just fellowship. We got to run away from that immaturity that would say, just give me my help right now, and that'll bring me closer to you later. That's what we think. If I could have help now, if you just do this for me right now, I'd trust you with the rest of my life. No, you wouldn't. If He bailed you out right now, you'd walk away from Him. That's how the prodigal heart works. But if you'll endure with Him, if you'll walk with Him, if you'll be raised to life for Him, moment by moment, hour by hour, and you see His faithfulness and you learn to be faithful, then all of a sudden, your idea of my portion is no longer my inheritance, but intimacy with God. I see this thing here that I'm trying to run over. Thank the Lord this don't fall down. I'd knock it over 100 times. Not only did He value the instant over the constant, but He traded increase for access. I figured this out about my teacher retirement, and it's ridiculous, by the way. But I call him like, can I just have my teacher retirement right now? Believe it or not, I am a retired teacher. Because if you put in 10 whole years, you get back what you vested in it. And so the lady says, absolutely, absolutely. You can have it right now. And if you take it right now, your total retirement will come to, it was like $14,000 when I have much more than that stored up in retirement. I'm like, whoa, excuse me, ma'am. I'm looking at my statement, and that's actually not my retirement. And she said, oh, I know, but if you took it early, then you're forfeiting the, all of the interest that it will earn, everything that it will accrue, and you also are abandoning what we match. Excuse me, I think I'm just going to be poor for 40 more years then. That's what I'm going to do. And y'all just sit on that nest egg, and I'll just go back to not buying a four-wheeler right now. You know? But what I learned was that if I wanted access to that, I was abandoning everything that they would do with that in the meantime. I said it earlier in this point. God will give you what you want. You keep demanding that he give, that he give, that he give, and you refuse, and you are going to abandon everything that he can do with the things that you leave in his hands. To truly return to God does not mean I go back, I make a visit, I get fixed up, and I walk away. It means I go back, I tether my heart to his, I abide in his house, I give him back everything that I would have wasted away, and he once again begins to provide the increase. If you want abundance in your life, if you want increase in your life, you've got to take everything that you stubbornly put in your hands and put it back in the hands of God. Everything has to go back in the Father's hands. He can restore and he can provide increase, but you have got to let go of control. We have got to let go of control, and we've got to come to a point where we say, I don't care. I don't care about the thing that is instant. I want the thing that is constant. I don't care about having access and I'm going to get what's mine. I belong to God. I'm going to continue to belong to God, and he will care for me and he will provide for me, but you've got to let go of control, and instead you've got to place it back in the hands of the one that was meant to carry it. He failed to understand this, that his portion was not a one-time gift, but a lifetime of guidance. If you want to abandon the prodigal heart, you've got to release the gift and embrace the guidance. The Church of America wants the blessings of God without the control and the direction of God. The heart of every single human is to hang on, to grip tightly to control, because control feels like safety. You're secure in him, but you will not always feel safe. I'm sheltered in the arms of God. My future is secure, but there are a lot of moments where I go, I don't know. I don't know. And he carries me anyway. In the moments where you are white knuckle faithing it, he will not let go of you. And eventually, you'll get to the point where even in the rockiest of moments, you feel pretty safe. Because you say, I've been here with him before. I've seen him be faithful before. I've seen what the provision of God looks like, and it looks like constant protection. It looks like constant accompaniment. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Right now you want to cling and drift into the whole, God will fix this and he will restore that and he'll rebuild that and he'll handle this for me. But you'll get to the point where you've seen the promise of he will never leave nor forsake, and it will mean more to you than every single thing that he could give you. And I do believe that the gifts of God are for his children. I believe the word that says that I have never seen his children begging for bread. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I believe and embrace all of that. But at the same time, if by the world's measure you were destitute and you still had a seat at the table of God, it would be enough. And if you had a constant provider but you did not have immediate provision, it would be enough. And if you had God's control, but you did not have immediate access to everything, it would be enough. The sovereignty of God says, I may not feel an overwhelming peace right now, but I know that the Prince of Peace rules over my life. The sovereignty of God says, I may not feel happy right now, but I am rooted and grounded in joy. The oil of gladness is poured over me. It may say, I don't feel necessarily accepted or even impactful right now, but I know that he promised me that he has a purpose for my life, plans for a future and a hope. If you will hang on to the constant, if you will hang on to that which increases, which is God, which is the heart of God, you will eventually find out what you want to see immediately. It doesn't work that way. You have to learn to be faithful. You have to learn to stay and to abide, even when you're feeling poor, even when you're feeling the urge to control. I know all about the urge to control. I'm the bossy sister. I know about that. Stop laughing so hard at all this. Rachel, hold it in. Hold it in, girl. That sounds like a bossy sister to me in the middle of the room. While he was wasting away, though, here's the grace in this. While he was wasting away in the pig pen, the calf was being fattened. The grace of God is that he has lost nothing while you were giving away everything. And the inheritance that this young prodigal squandered was replenished by the time he returned. I promise you, when you come back to the Lord, he doesn't say, oh, too bad for you. He said, give him a ring. Give him a robe. Put shoes. You know why they put shoes on his feet? Because sons wore shoes. Slaves went barefoot. He said, you have got a role to walk in. And you have got things to be responsible for and accountable to. When we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. When we get to the other side of eternity, I would imagine the Lord won't let us see it because it would cause us so much heartbreak. But I think there will be a lot of reward in heaven stored up for people that never showed up to claim it. Because God is faithful to your reward even when you squander your inheritance. And all you have to do is come back. Come back. Maybe you threw away the constant for the instant. Maybe you threw away the abundance for the control. Come back and be restored to it. Be raised to life. By the way, if you go back to point number one, it's not about making yourself more worthy, but being raised to life. Being raised to life and able to walk in it. Psalms 37 and there's that scripture that I just quoted earlier. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I believe that that ability is not blocked by his unwillingness. He is not just able, but he is willing. So return to the Father. See yourself abundantly blessed. See yourself abounding in every good work. There's not a single person in this room that has been disqualified from abundance. There's not a person in this room that has been disqualified from partnership with God. And what you have to do is return to your portion. Return and understand your portion. Understand that it's not just about what I take and walk away with. It's not about what I just hold up for myself, but it's about what happens and what I'm given when I'm connected to the heart of God, when I'm connected to the correction of God, when I'm connected to the control of God. And it does mean laying everything else down. And that's why some of us ain't done it yet. Let this be the morning. Let this be the moment that you decide. Let this be the day that you choose that. That you don't just return to fullness of life and purpose and portion, but finally, position. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you change position even when we don't deserve it. Yesterday, we had an interesting day at my mom and dad's yesterday. A lot of y'all would probably be interested in doing this. So we have family functions a lot. We hang out together as a family. Well, I'd say every few months because we have to, like, celebrate all the birthdays or whatever. And yesterday we gather at my mom's, and this whole other family joins in. They are not related to us, but they're just a whole other family. They literally came to my mom and dad, and they're a really precious family. They're super sweet people. They come to my mom and dad, and they say, we would like to just be there when your family is gathered. We just want to see. And then Jordan's like, oh, no, we got to be on our best behavior. He's like, we have all got to be acting right. As we're getting ready yesterday, and I tell him there's going to be another family there. They just want to, like, hang out with our family. He's like, we better all act right. And I know by we, he actually means me. He is speaking to me. He is speaking to me. And I tried my best to not be the bossy sister, but there was a few times I caught myself. I did. But they say, like, we just want to, like, hang out. Here's the deal, though. You cannot just by hanging out with my parents for one day and enjoying the fellowship of that family for one day have a clue about how to put together a family like that. Because it has been years and years and ugly moment after ugly moment of me seeing my mom and dad handle it right and even dragging me by the ear into their way and saying, this is how we're going to do it and this is how you're going to do it. That produces that. That's what produces that, is them continually restoring us to our position. Them continually restoring their in-law children to their position. Them continually restoring their grandchildren to their position. I was one day way back at my brother's house. We had gone to Shane's house. I had called a whole family meeting. I was going to force our whole family to tell Rustin how horrible he was. When I say it now, it sounds really crazy. No wonder Candace was making homemade buttermilk biscuits and Shane was frying his best deer meat. They caught me in the hallway, and I'm like, we're about to go do this thing. We're all about to go get this boy, and one of y'all's taking him home with you, because I'm not. One of y'all pick who he's living with now. And my dad and my mom and Shane and Candace, I don't know where Dan was, they met me in the hallway of Candace's house and said, we are not doing this. We will not do this, actually, you crazy lady. No, they didn't say that. They didn't say that, but they said, we ain't doing this. We're about to love that boy, and we're about to pray for that boy, but you're not going to get the thing that you want right now because it's not the best thing. Now, I didn't really hate my parents telling me that, but my big brother, I really didn't like that. I was like, you can be gone, bro, but at the same time, I respect it. But they put their foot down and said, that's not how we're going to do this right now. And they, in restoring me back to my position, also protected my son's position because I didn't know what needed to happen. If you want your life to look good on the other side of this thing, you're going to have to trust your father's heart. And you're going to have to let him pull you aside in the hallway and say, this is how it's going to be. And I'm telling you, that if you will just submit, I've literally lived it in the natural life too. And God was just thinking about it yesterday as we're all sitting there. If you will just submit, then the Father knows what's best. And I know that not everybody in here has had a good earthly father as an example. That's fine. Like I said this morning during worship, that doesn't matter. But He will do these things for you. He will. He will remind you of your purpose. He'll remind you of your provision, and He will restore you to your position. When we are restored, we are met by a God who breaks religious protocol. I'm sorry if I got black streaks on my face. We're met by a God who breaks religious protocol. In verse 20, it says that this prodigal arose and he came to his father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. These were displays that did not normally happen. Dignified men did not run. Men with great wealth, they never ran. They never acted hurried. This old dad, he did not care. He ran. He busted protocol. He busted through everything that everyone expected, and he ran towards his son. I'm telling you that the Father is ready to surprise everyone with how much he loves you. He is ready to shock everyone with his goodness towards you. He is ready to break every bit of protocol and say, I don't care. I don't care how much they deserve it. I don't care how much they've squandered. I don't care what's happened. I will run after them. I will meet them. If you'll take a step towards the Lord, you'll be be accompanied by the love of God. You'll be accompanied by the heart of God. And you'll see that he's been watching, he's been waiting, and he is absolutely willing to break protocol. Secondly, we are not just met by him, but we are clothed by him. And he is a God who has the power to change your status. He said, bring out the best robe, bring out the ring, bring out the sandals. This my son was dead and is alive again, is lost and is found. And when he called on them to be merry, they began to be merry. He will surround you with people that will celebrate you. He will surround you with people that will support it. He will surround you. Don't listen to the people saying, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Why are you trying that? Instead, surround yourself with people that say, look what the Lord's doing in your life. Look at the faithfulness of God. Look at the goodness of God. Those people that will speak blessing, that will obey the Father as well. They began to make merry. I promise you, if you'll decide to return to the Lord, that there will be people who will celebrate with you. There will be a cloud of witnesses, not just on the eternal side, but here on earth as well. Not only that, he was spoken for. If you go back to the story and look at verse 28, the brother. Oh, the brother. I've been the brother before. I've been the brother. He was angry and would not go in. Literally, done it. Ask my mother. And she came out on that porch and said, get yourself in that house and fix your face. She didn't say it like that. She was like, now, Leisha. But my mom can say now, Leisha, to me, and I sounds like Darth Vader. Okay. He refused to go in. And the father came out and pleaded. And he said, lo, these many years I've been serving you, I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. He's like, I'm not playing around about this. I'm not sugarcoating this. You killed the fatted calf for him. He's like, I didn't even get a goat. He gets a calf. I've never even been given a goat. And he said, son, you're always with me, and all I have is yours. And it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother, was dead and is alive again and is lost and is found. Up until this point, he said, my son. But he said, your brother. Because you are not just the son of the Father, but you are a brother or sister in Christ, and it means something. You will not just be restored to the heart of God. You will be restored to fellowship with God's people. And God's people who have the right heart will listen and say, you're right. Let's go make merry. You might want to have this attitude of, man, I just me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. I don't care about nobody else's approval. I don't care what nobody else thinks. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. He ain't just trying to line out this one singular road, but he's trying to line out the whole infrastructure. And he's trying to say, I'm restoring a brother, I'm restoring a son, I'm restoring a future. And it comes in the entirety, because everything that God does is perfect. And you've got to be willing and ready to come back into communion. Dad, I'm fixing to stop. So you can go ahead and come up. Romans 8, verse 34. Who then is one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding. He's interceding for you. He is speaking for you. You have become one who has been and is being spoken for. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, this is where I want to land on, where I want to pray on tonight, this morning. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that will keep you from returning to God this morning besides your own will and your own choices. There is nothing that will keep us from having unity in our church and unity among the brethren and unity in our families and unity in our ministries other than our own mind, our own free will, and our own choices. The wall has been broken down. He's the mediator of a new law, a new regulation, a new covenant, and he is running down that road to raise you back to life, to connect you back to the vine, and to speak for you. The Spirit of the Lord speaks for you this morning. Come back into your calling. Come back into fellowship with God. Come back into a place, or for the first time even. Some of you are like, I ain't coming back. I ain't never been. For the first time. Come. And the reason why some of us end up in the pig pen is because we never learned how to walk in the authority. We never learned how to walk as a son or a daughter. Well, you can learn. The Holy Spirit can teach you. But there are many of us sitting in this room saying, I need something more restored to my life than just the things of God. I need fellowship with God restored to my life. I need the ways of the Lord restored to my life. I can make it all look just perfect, but I want something deeper than that. That's not just a brand new believer or a prodigal's cry. That's an old saint's cry. That's a I've been pursuing the Lord for a long time cry. But God, don't just give me the gifts. Help me to abide. Don't just give me the comfort. Help me to be faithful. Don't let me walk out of here with a chip on my shoulder. Isn't it interesting in this story? He knocked the chip off everybody's shoulder. Let that happen for all of us. That none of us walk out of here going, I don't care about anything but the Lord. The Lord restored a heart for him. He restored a heart for others. He restored a heart for my future and your future. He restored a heart for the family of God. Let that happen in us this morning. If you'd stand. Jesus, we trust you. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that there is a place for every single person in this room. Thank you that there is a promise. There is a promise for every single person in this room. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let your word go out. Let your word, Lord, begin to pursue. Let your word begin to pursue hearts in this room. Let your word begin to restore futures in this room, Lord. Help those that have felt out of sorts, out of joint, out of fellowship. Help them to feel compelled to respond to you, Lord. Help them to feel compelled, Lord. Church, all of us are about to gather in these altars in a moment and pray for our prodigals. But for those of us that want to respond to that, I want to give a moment. For those of us in this room that would just say, I don't just want the comfort. I want to be faithful. I need the Spirit of God to make me faithful. I want to be raised to life in a new way. I want to be raised to supernatural ability. I want to be raised to the strength of God, the power of God, the authority of God. If that's you and that's your heart's cry, would you come forward first this morning? Those of you that maybe you're not necessarily in the pig pen, but you want to come to a place of greater power, of greater faithfulness, of greater commitment. You say, I'm laying everything down. I'm not looking for just the good things, but I want to be the lasting one, the faithful one, the one who endures, the one who surrenders it all. Come on, just begin. Continue to respond to that. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that are already in these altars, begin just to make that commitment to say, my life is yours, God. Everything that I have is yours. Thank you that there's a place for me. Thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters. Thank you, God, that you put an anointing over this place, that you've called out Maranatha as a church, that you've called out this community, that your Spirit rests over our communities, over our towns, over our addresses, over our families. Thank you, Lord, for the glory that is here. Church, don't miss what a gift we've been given. Don't miss what a precious moment that we're in. Cry out to the Lord this morning, and let's just ask that He would pour out his spirit on us. Make us faithful, Lord. Make us faithful. Make us steadfast and sincere. Church, for the rest of you, would you just begin to gather in these altars and let's cry out that every prodigal would return, that every lost son, every lost daughter would return home. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice in prayer. Lift up your voice. I know Rustin's not here to mask everybody's voices. It's not as loud. That doesn't matter. You lift your voice to the Lord. You lift up a cry in prayer. Come on. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy. We lay everything.